I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ again. And again, I would like to say a blessed new year. As I was contemplating what to preach to you on the first Sunday of the new year, one question has been at the forefront of my mind. It is a question I believe every single believer must ask himself or herself continually throughout their lives. That is, am I growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord, which is our church's annual theme for this year, if you haven't noticed. In other words, am I growing spiritually? And am I growing in spiritual maturity? You see, Christianity isn't just a one-time experience that you leave behind. It is a living, personal relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. When you come to Christ, you become a new creation in Christ. You are born again. So spiritually, you are a newborn baby. And like all babies, you need to grow and eventually to be a mature individual. That is why Peter says in 2 Peter 3:18, he urges us to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So on the first Sunday of our new year, I would like us to consider the importance of growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord. First, I want us to look at what spiritual growth and maturity means. Second, I want us to look at what that means to our spiritual walk with God, with Christ Jesus. And then, third, I want us to look at some of the means of grace or methods of help which God has given us to help us to grow spiritually, namely the Bible, prayer, fellowship, and service. First, spiritual growth and maturity. Now, what is spiritual growth? As Peter has already said, growing spiritually means to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are saved by grace and by grace alone. But we all need to grow in that grace. What does it mean to grow in grace then? Growing in grace means growing in your understanding that you are accepted by God, not on the basis of your performance as a Christian, but on the basis of Christ alone and on His merit alone. You need to understand that God loves you, not because of what you do, not because you are cute or lovable, but because of what Jesus Christ has done. Some people might think that would cause us to sin more, but ironically, the more you grasp the grace of God and the concept of it, the less you will sin, and it should be. Bishop Polycarp, who is who was a disciple of the Apostle John, before he was burned on the stake, he was given the last chance to denounce his faith in Christ Jesus by his persecutors. Did he denounce the faith? No. So before he died, this is what he said. He said, 40 years have I served him, which is 86 years. And he has never done me injury. Christ has never done anything wrong against me. How then can I now blaspheme my King and my Savior? You see, growing in grace also means learning to live in God's grace. So that His grace motivates and sustains us throughout our lives. You see, Peter also said that we are to grow in our knowledge of Christ. Not only grace, but also in knowledge. Now, certainly part of the knowledge is learning about Christ from the Bible. But we are also to grow in our personal understanding and our knowledge of Christ. What does that mean? We spend time in prayer. As we submit to His lordship and authority in our lives through the choices and decisions we make. And we submit to Him and ask Him, Lord, what should I do? You are my Lord. I'm not my own Lord. You make the decisions for me. Allowing me to say this. If you are not growing as a Christian, something must be wrong. And it certainly makes parents worried to see their own baby still acting and behaving like a baby 5 years, 10 years, 30 years, 50 years into their growth and still behaving like a baby. If you have never experienced Christian growth, perhaps one question you might ask yourself is, am I a child of God? Am I truly born again? And I'm not trying to cast doubt on your salvation, because no one can lose his or her salvation. Nor am I suggesting that you would, lose your salvation after you're saved. All I'm asking is you must make sure that you are saved if you haven't been growing. Because if you're not a Christian, you cannot grow as a Christian. There must be spiritual life before there can be spiritual growth. Because when we talk about spiritual growth, we are talking about growing in Christian maturity. Paul wrote in Colossians 1:28, he says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man, and that's a key word, perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, the word translated perfect is a word that means mature, fully grown, complete, and finished. So Paul worked hard to present every man, every believer, as mature in Christ Jesus. Now there's a sense in which none of us will be finished growing as Christians until we reach heaven. We will not be fully mature or perfect in Christ until we die. And yet there is a sense in which we can say that they are mature Christians and immature Christians, adult Christians and baby Christians. The young believers in Christ have so much to learn about God, about the Bible, about prayer, forgiveness of sin, how to resist temptation, and a host of other things. The Christian who has walked with Christ for many years, on the other hand, and who has spent time and years and decades in the Bible and in prayer has been tested and tried in ways that a new believer has not. And so even though we will never be fully mature or perfect as Christians in this life, we can still strive, and we should strive to be perfect still. So we have seen the importance of growing spiritually and in maturity. Growing spiritually means, as I said, growing in grace and in knowledge of Jesus Christ. And growing in maturity means to become mature believers and followers of Christ. And when we talk about spiritual growth and maturity, we are not just talking about Bible knowledge. Not just that. We're talking about character. Christian character. It is your walk with the Lord, your relationship with Christ that matters. In other words, the spiritual growth and maturity will always result in Christian becoming more and more and more like our Savior in character. Ultimately, growing in Christ means to become more like our Lord Jesus Christ. This leads to the second point of the sermon, becoming more like Jesus. Let us turn to Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. Now, I'll read to you, well, it's on a PowerPoint, you don't have to turn to that. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom did he foreknow? He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among brethren, among many brethren. Now, this passage is certainly one of the most popular passages in the entire Bible. We often quote this passage to encourage people who are suffering, you know, difficult times and trials, and we say, well, all things work for good. For those who love God, together for good, for those who love God. And because all things include all the trials, difficulties, and sufferings that you have gone through, and probably you are going through right now. And why does God work all things together for good of those who love him? Verse 29 says, for whom did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And that's the purpose there, to be conformed to the image of his Son. In other words, we experience hardships. God has allowed us to go through difficulties and trials so that we may become more and more like his Son. That means God is using everything that happens in your life as a Christian, including difficult times and trials and so-called bad things that has happened in your lives, to make you become more like his Son. Or what is the purpose of our sufferings, you might ask? Well, yes, we can become more like our Jesus Christ. But what's the point? Well, let me give you an illustration. A Christian girl by the name of Yoni Erickson, back in July 1967, at 17 years of age, dove off a diving platform in Chesapeake Bay. He hit the shallow bottom and broke her neck. And she became paralyzed from the neck down. Well, that means she could only move her neck. But she was in good spirit. And I will paraphrase what she wrote in one of her books. She writes that we can only understand the pain and sufferings of others to the degree that we have suffered. Now, if you have never suffered the same fate as other people, it is very difficult for you to be compassionate with the other person. Am I correct? Now, I could say of the similar things on myself. You know, my wife had gone through 3 very difficult pregnancies, grappling, literally grappling with life and death. You know, I have mentioned the stories many times, especially the 3rd one. Before she delivered her baby, her blood pressure was like 220 upon 160. And the doctor says, well, you need to go into the surgery immediately, have a C-section. Otherwise, both you and your baby might die. Wow. Okay. Well, I skipped the 1st one and the 2nd one. The 2nd one, my wife almost died too because of a blood loss. And the 1st one, my daughter almost died. So what's the point of God allowing me to go through all these? Well, I guess there's a purpose. There's a reason behind, so that I can understand better what other people are going through when they experience similar experiences, difficult times. When our first baby, by the way, I did not intend to share this with you, but when my first baby had a congenital conditions of her lung, and the baby said, your baby might die in the womb, 5 months into the pregnancy, and somebody from Melbourne, a bunch of Christians, came to Pensacola. And as we were sharing these prayer items with them, they said to me, you too probably have sinned against the Lord. That's why you have these conditions for your child. I was like, and the person, you might have guessed it, she's never been married. I'm not saying that the person who has never been married cannot understand. I'm just saying it's a little bit blunt. But we received the comment with humility. We still sort of search our hearts before the Lord. If we have sinned against God, Lord, forgive us our sins. But when we heard that comment from the person, we were sort of, we feel like crying our hearts to the Lord, Anyway, so If the Lord is allowing you to go through some difficult times right now, be sure that there's a purpose behind it. Okay, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, why not make this a New Year resolutions for you this year? To be more like Christ. I want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means to be more like Christ. To be compassionate like Christ. Yeah, so that I can understand other people's, what other people are going through. So, but how does that happen? How can we grow in Christ? How can we be more like Christ each day? Want to achieve this, you not only have to make an effort, drawing close to the Lord, but more importantly, you need to rely on the Spirit of God to make you more like Christ. You see, God is far more interested in the development of your character than he is in what you do for him. Now, when it comes to spiritual growth, please do not misunderstand or equate spiritual growth with Christian ministry. Now, you can be involved in many areas of ministries at church, but yet your spiritual life is not growing. Yeah? So what God is concerned about you, about your spiritual growth, is whether you are growing in your character or not. Now, it's not so much how much you do for him. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that ministry is just not important. I'm not saying that evangelism and witnessing is not important. What I'm saying is that when it comes to spiritual growth, God is more concerned about your character, whether if you are becoming more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ or not. Not so much of how much we do for him, all right? How many people have led to the Lord. Yeah? So you see, you could know the Bible backwards and forwards. You could lead hundreds and thousands to Christ. You could put your hand or foot in every ministry at church. But if you're not becoming more like Christ in your character, then I'm afraid that that means little in the eyes of God. When the wife of the famous missionary Adoniram Judson told him that a newspaper article likened him to some of the great apostles, in fact, the newspaper likened Justin's as the Apostle Paul. Justin replied, now if you were Adoniram Judson, you'd say, oh yeah, not too bad. You know, I've been equated as the Apostle Paul. Yeah, big deal. But Justin replied, no, I do not want to be like Paul or any mere man. I want to be like Christ. I want to follow him only, copy his teachings, drink in his spirit, and place my feet in his footprints. I mean, following his steps. Oh, to be more like Christ is what I want, he said. I don't want to be a Paul, a Peter. I want to be like Christ. So the ultimate measure of spiritual maturity is not how much you do know about the Bible. It is not even how much you do serve in a church. It is how much you exhibit the character of Christ in your life. So growing Christ means becoming more like who? Like him. Thirdly, the Bible, prayer, fellowship, and service. Now these are the four things we call the means of grace. And the means of grace, again, is another term for God's helps. All right? One way to interpret that he has provided us for us to grow to be more like Christ. Now, he has provided at least four means of grace: the Bible, prayer, and also fellowship and service. Now, you wouldn't be surprised to find all four elements in the Bible. In fact, it is found in the early church in Acts chapter 2. Now, the early church was a growing church. a vibrant church. Let us look at chapter 2 of Book of Acts, verse 42 to 45 and then 47. I read, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine," right? That's the Bible, because New Testament is still in the making, right? So that's the Bible, the apostles' doctrine. "And fellowship," well, that's fellowship, right? "And in breaking of bread," that's fellowship as well, or communion. "And in prayers," that's the second element. "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs are done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common." I believe that's fellowship too. "And sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need." That's service. "They were selling everything that they had in order to distribute their goods amongst the poor and needy." Now, the first deacons were called in chapter 6 of the Book of Acts. And the word deacons literally means servants. And they were called to serve the tables and help the orphans, help the widows and the orphans. So, in a sense, we're all called to be deacons. We're all servants of God. But not in the office sense, but some people are called to be in the office of deacons. But in a sense, we're all servants of God. So what a wonderful picture of the church that is. But the Bible and prayer and fellowship and service. I will talk briefly about each of the elements and I'm done. The Bible. Firstly, the Bible. The Bible is essential to Christian growth because it is God's word. And I will quote to you the importance of God's word from a great man of God who is called the Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He said, "The best food for you, if you're a baby," we're all babies in a sense, okay? "The best food for you is the word of God itself." Are you feeding yourselves with God's word every day? "You shall find that reading the word of God for yourselves, it is the surest way of growing in grace. Drink the unadulterated milk or uncontaminated, pure milk of the word of God, and not of the skim milk and the water of man's word. Be sure, be careful what you read in the Christian bookstores, all right? Unfortunately, all the top sellers that you enter into the bookstore and all the top sellers in front are normally not good books, unfortunately. Okay, except the Bible, it's good. But be careful what you read. Read the Bible. So the Bible, which is the first element to Christian growth, read it. Study it and meditate upon it. Not just read it. Study it and meditate upon it day and night, as David says. Secondly, prayer is essential to Christian growth. Now, if reading the God's word is the way God talks to us, which it is, prayer is the way that we talk to God. So our communication with God must be two-way. We don't just read his word and don't talk to him in prayer. We don't just pray to him and don't read his word having him talk to us. We need to read his word and pray to him. Because prayer is like the oxygen that feeds the fire. Someone says, if the Bible is the fuel for Christian living, then prayer is the oxygen that feeds the fire. What is the effective way to kill the fire? if your house is on fire, let's say you have a kitchen fire, the flame is going all over, what is the best way? Pour water. No, it will make it worse. What do you do? You take a piece of blanket, right, and cover it, and kills the oxygen supply, and the flame will go off. Yeah? And be sure also to know that you can kill your Christian life and living real quick if you remove your own oxygen supply, which is prayer. If you don't pray, you will die spiritually. Well, not that you lose your salvation, but your Christian life will go on a downward spiral real quick. You see, God speaks to you through His Word, but we speak to God through prayer. All right? But remember, prayer often changes things around you. All right? But more importantly, prayer changes you. You get that? Because that will be done in earth as it's in heaven, we pray, right? So His will must be done in earth. So as we pray to Him, we submit unto His will. Not our will, but Your will be done. So in our prayers, we pray to Him, He changes us in our mindset, so that our mindset will be in tune with God's word, God's will. Ian Bonds, which is the authority in the subjects of prayer, you should study him. He said, I quote, now this is very important, listen. What the church needs today is not mere machinery or better machinery, not newer organizations or more and novel methods. Now we talk about methods, programs, method of the methods, but men whom the Holy Spirit, He said, that can use men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost, He says, does not flow through methods, but through men. I'll add women as well. Okay. Now, He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men. Men of prayer. May we all become men and women of prayer, so that we may grow spiritually. So prayer is second element to Christian growth. Thirdly, fellowship. Fellowship is essential because we need each other. We need each other to encourage one another. We need each other to pat on the back and say, hey, I have a Bible verse for you. May this be an encouragement for you. So let us grow together in Christ. Somebody says, I think you heard this illustration many times. Somebody says, if you find a perfect church, right, don't join it. Because once you join it, the church becomes imperfect. Because you are imperfect. So if you are imperfect, don't find a perfect church. So no church is perfect. We are all sinners. But there are people I know that are always looking for a perfect church and were shun away from Christian fellowship. What are they missing? They're missing the sweet fellowship with other Christians. They miss the opportunities being able to build up, edify one another with God's word. As someone said, no man is an island. You cannot be an island yourself. God does not save you, by the way, as an individual. Well, in a sense, yes. But He brings you into His family. All right? He brings you into His family.
Jesus is building his church, and he calls you to be part of it. True Christianity always takes place in community. It is the church that we love and serve each other and present witness to a watching world. It cannot grow as a Christian in isolation. So fellowship is the third element of growth. And lastly, service. Service is essential also to Christian growth because it enables the body of Christ, all of us, to be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and become mature. Because serving each other is one of the ways we help each other grow in maturity in Christ Jesus. Now you may be asking one question: how may I serve the Lord? How may I give myself to Christ in the service of the Lord? Well, here is the illustration to help you to think. And that's the last thing I want to mention, okay? A young man who was eager to grow in his Christian life. He got a piece of paper and made a list of all the things he would do for God. He wrote down the things he would give up, the places he would go to minister, and the areas of ministry he would enter. It was so exciting. He was so excited, and he took that list to the church and put it on the altar. Normally, you know, altar means a table before, in front of the pulpit. He thought that he would feel joy. But instead, he felt empty. So he went home and started adding onto the list. I want to do this. I don't want to do this for God. I will do this ministry, and so on and so forth. So he wrote down more things he would do and wouldn't do. He took the longer list and put it on the altar again. And nothing happens. He felt nothing. Still empty. So he went to a wise, experienced pastor and told him the situation and asked for help. What's wrong? What's wrong with my list? What's wrong with my attitude, pastor? Can you advise me? The pastor said, young man, take a blank sheet of paper and sign your name at the bottom of the paper and place it on the altar, right? And that is exactly what he did. And then peace came to his heart. What does that mean? The point of this illustration is that don't plan what you want to do and what you do not want to do for the Lord. He said, wait a minute. Don't plan? No. Offer yourselves wholly, your whole being to God on the altar, and let him use you according to his plan, not your plan. In closing, I will quote Romans 12, verse 1. Paul urges us, and this verse becomes too familiar to all of us. He says, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, what is the body? The body means your entire being. Not your leg, not your hand, not your face, not your head. Your entire body, the whole being onto the altar. A living means in your daily living, you're alive. You offer your whole selves alive, living your life for the Lord. Sacrifice is a picture of worship because that's what people do in the Old Testament for worship. Holy and acceptable means separated and worthy of God. Reasonable means it ought to be that way. So Paul is telling us to offer ourselves entirely, our whole being on the altar as a living sacrifice, which means to live a life of worship. Worship does not end at 5:30 or 4:30. Worship means every day, from Monday to Monday, or the Sunday to Sunday, rather. Okay, you know, it's not two or three hours a week. It's everything. It's a living sacrifice. And as a reasonable service, it ought to be that way. Because it's our calling. So as I close, I would like to ask you this question again, which I asked at the beginning of the sermons. Are you growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ? If you're one of God's children and not growing in grace, make sure that you make this your New Year resolutions this year. If you have resolved to grow in grace and knowledge, and then make sure that you know that growing spiritually ultimately means for you to grow to be like who? Like our Lord Jesus Christ. Not how much things you could do for the Lord, how many ministry that you can involve in a church. And know that God has given us means, methods, helps, to help us to grow to be more like Him. The Bible, prayer, fellowship, and service. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, may you help us, O Lord, to grow in God's grace and to grow in the knowledge of our Lord. May you be with us and help us to always remind ourselves, O Lord, that we can never be fully perfect in this life. But we ought to strive to be perfect in this life so that we may bring glory and honor unto your name. We pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing the last hymn, or closing hymn, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. Let us rise as we sing this hymn.